I hope you're all well. I hope you're all encouraged. Obviously, I think it would be a good place to start, actually, because today is actually the day of remembrance of the Holocaust. So I think it might be just appropriate just to let's spend 30 seconds or so just thanking God for the freedom that we have, not only just in Him, but also as a country, as a society, and the horrors that have happened just in the last century, and not just the Holocaust. There's been many instances of genocide in places like Rwanda and other places. Let's just spend 30 seconds thanking God for His goodness and praying for peace. So, Father God, we recognize the scars and pain of war and how that affects generation after generation. But we just thank you also, God, that there is hope. There is new life in the name of Jesus. Our thoughts and prayers go to all the families that particularly today, will bring much pain and suffering. But I pray, Lord, that churches across the world, the church, were able to show your love and your light to help bring restoration and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we're going to be looking, thank you, Mr. Aubrey, as efficient as ever. We're going to be looking at house church. Obviously, for those who were here last week, I kind of went through some principles of who we are as a church, some of the vision that has led us partly to where we are now. The first thing we looked at was prayer, that we are called to be a house of prayer. And remember that picture I had with the pillars, and the pillars not actually being upright but being laid down sacrificially for God's rails, His direction to be laid upon us. And actually, I've heard some encouraging words from individuals, and I think Joan, you had a specific thought around the pillars. Are you okay just to share that? Just
it was when I saw the picture of the rail rail tracks, and I remembered back to the a few years ago we were in a meeting, and our then leader said he I don't know whether Aubrey and Alex will remember this. He felt he was pushing an engine up a track and no one was helping him, and it was too big. And he was frustrated by this. And I said, well, maybe you're on the wrong track. And then it occurred to me that we don't have to push. We just have to be there below, forming the ballast, as it were, for the tracks to be laid on. And then the wind of God, the Spirit of God, can move that train, that truck, where whatever it is He's wanting us to do in His direction. And so we want to go be moved with the Holy Spirit. It's not in our own effort. We lay ourselves down, and then God can move and take us where He wants us to be.
So I hope you would agree that this is an act of the Holy Spirit, that the direction God is leading us, we're trying to be obedient to what God is saying. The second thing I spoke about was growing with our anointing, with our personal calling. And the net effect of that is that we will see others grow. So recognizing other people's talents and callings. And the third thing is that we're a gospel-centered church. That we go, we take that good news to the people that we meet every day. But I alluded to this house church. And before I'm going, well, let me just set the scene. I'm going to be going through lots of little bits because I've been sitting on this for quite some time. So this morning is just a chance for you to hear some of the things that I've been feeling and what I believe God has been saying to draw us to this point of house church. And there will be opportunity for some discussion in a bit. But before I get too far ahead of myself, I just really want to share what I am not saying. What I am not saying. Because I think this is important. I am not saying that meeting here on a Sunday has lost its value. I am not saying that us gathering in a building is wrong. It has a place. But meeting in a building, in a church, takes time and resources. It takes money to keep the building going, but it also takes time because we have to set things up. We have to make sure the computer's working, and thank Aubrey and others for making sure that it is working. But it also takes time. It takes time for us to come here. And part of what this house church is about is, are we using our time wisely? Could there be other opportunities for us to do something different? When you look at church in the Bible, it doesn't describe church as probably what we see it. Churches were actually formulated where? Homes and houses. Homes and houses. So this is kind of us going back to the original vision of what church was or described in the Bible, of people gathering together. But I am not saying at all that us meeting on a Sunday at regular times is wrong. And that is why we're keeping the doors open and having the reflect service. Not because the reflect service is not worthy of people coming, but we want to make sure that the rhythms of the church and what people are used to is still available. And we still want to be a welcoming, worshipping place. So if that's not happening in homes, we want to make sure that any visitors that come, they will be received. Okay? So I think that's a good place to start. Now, this is Dave's fault, by the way. I just want to pinpoint this. Because this whole process started by Dave sharing some of his... Dave Ball, that is, by the way, he's there. So if you disagree with anything, no, don't. He basically, we were talking, it was early last year. It seems a while ago. But Dave started to share some of his experiences that he's seen at other churches. And one of the things that he experienced was a church tried to do something different on a Sunday. And they used what they had. So Dave is a keen cyclist. So he and others used to meet, instead of going to a church building, they kind of did church on the bikes and invited others. And through that, the idea of relationship would grow. And that got me really intrigued. It was like the Holy Spirit really grabbed my attention within that moment. And from then on, I've been working this through and talking to people like Dave. Will as well has been instrumental in some of the thoughts that he's carrying, and many others. So this is what today is about, really. It's me drawing out what I feel God is saying and also giving you an opportunity to see what that may look like. So I'm going to start off, next slide please, referencing this book, The Way of Blessings. This book is from a guy called Roy Godwin. And he was the leader, I don't think he's there anymore, at a place called Felden Brennan, in Wales, where they've seen some magnificent stuff. And the reason why I'm referencing this, I'll explain a bit more later, but I really like what they're doing, and I think it's very similar to the journey that God is calling us to be. But I just want to start off by reading this. This is a quote from The Way of Blessing. So, we note that Scripture often reminds us that the work of God in our lives often finds expression in diverse ways. And in that diversity, we find strength. God instructs our hearts, shapes our character, and spurs us into action in many ways. This really jumped out at me when I read this, because I absolutely agree with what he's saying, but I was also challenged by when it says about the diversity. Are we expressing our diversity? Could we express it more? Is the different ways for us to express God's massive and unendless character in different ways? And I think what these guys have discovered and shaped into that is, yes, God will use you and us in different ways, and often not in the ways that we wouldn't often expect. We serve a diverse and endless God. Let's not limit ourselves to what we just have. Next slide, please. So, this was kind of when I was thinking after the first conversation I had with Dave about doing something differently. This was the place that we were drawn to, and I had a discussion with Dave, and he referenced this as well as me separately thinking about this. So let me just read it. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out his workers into the harvest field." Ask the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest. He has chosen you to be his workers. And although we may be few in numbers, we serve a God with endless potential. Next slide, please. So, a cute little picture. Oh, lovely. So, in that passage, I'm just going to draw out a few things. The first thing is two by two. Can any one of you think of other people, characters from the Bible that God paired up? Hands up. Yes. Moses and Aaron. Paul and Barnabas. Anyone else? Adam and Eve. Elisha and Elijah. David and Jonathan. There's probably more and more. I know it's Sunday, so our brains are a bit like, but that God often pairs people up. Here's another question. Has God given you someone to work alongside? Have you got your Moses or Aaron? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Because we serve a God of relationship. It's not God for us, it's God with us. God is a God of relationship. So it's no mistake that God pairs people up. Because he's a God of relationship. Therefore, we shouldn't expect or be asked to do anything in isolation. Next slide, please. The second coming, he was about to go, it says. He sent the people to the towns and villages that he was about to go. It's kind of weird, isn't it? If Jesus was about to go, the boss, the main guy, those that met him got healed and saved and they received revelation and life. But he chooses to hand back, doesn't he? When he sends out the 72, he says, I'm going to stay here and I'm sending you two by two. I'm going to send you forth. And this kind of paints a bigger picture, really, because one day Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for his bride, his harvest. So what he did with the 72 wasn't just a management picture, it was a picture for us. Because we are effectively the same as the 72. He's calling us to go out two by two before him. To go and preach the good news. And our role as believers is to pray and seek for the Holy Spirit to guide us to the people, the places of harvest and preparation for Jesus' return. He will come again. I'm utterly, utterly convinced he will. Let me explain it a bit more. Can I have the next slide? The parable of the talents really, for me, holds this. Because in the parable of the talents, we hear in the story that the master was going away. And he gave each of his three servants some talents of different amounts. And the first two put the talents to work. And they got an investment back. So they doubled what they had. And the third servant was afraid. And he buried it. And he didn't do anything with it. And when the master returned, he said to the first servant, what have you done? And the first servant went to him and said, here's what you gave me. Look what I've done with it. I've invested it. I've used it. Have it back. And the same with the second. But the third said he was afraid. The first two, what did they hear from their master when they returned? Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful with a little, you're going to receive much. But the third one was condemned. He was called wicked. And he was thrown out. That is the story of Jesus. He has came to earth as the Master, released the Holy Spirit, and when we receive that Holy Spirit, that's us receiving our talents. The gifts that he is putting in us, the anointing he has put in every single one of you. And I'm not trying to say this to make you feel bad, but this is what the Bible says. This is the reality that one day Jesus will return. Whether it's in our lifetime or not, doesn't matter, because we'll all stand before the judgment throne of God. And it's a challenge to us, and it's a definite challenge to me. Have I been faithful with what God has given me? Have I used that in the best possible ways? For me, the best thing I can hear when I see Jesus face to face is, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Billy Graham was asked this question. And he was having an interview and saying, "You believe in God?" "Yep." "You believe that you're going to see God?" "Yep." What would you want God to say to you when you meet him face to face?" And he quoted, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what he yearned for. That's why he used the gifts and the callings on his life to preach to tens of thousands of people. I'm not trying to say that you have to start filling stadiums to start preaching the good news. If God has put that on your heart, I release you in it. It's not about not so much the amount. It's using what God has given you, us, for his return. Next slide, please. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. Woohoo! This is good news, people. Because when you find it, it's plentiful. You might think, where do I start? And you might miss the field of harvest a few times. But when you finally get there, there's going to be loads of it. Loads. Who wants that? I'm desperate for it. I really am. And I'm thankful for God. He's given signs of that, particularly with the young people. We see it a lot, that we get one and they bring the mates. Brilliant. Harvest. It's plentiful. The guys at Felder Brennan really get this, and they're intrigued with the story of Caleb. But let me just move on to the next slide to help. So let me just read this and I'll explain. So this is from Numbers. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two, not one, two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. So here's the story. This is the backstory, that out of suppression and slavery and hardship, God called, through Moses, his people out of Egypt. He performed miraculous signs. Miraculous signs. And he led them to a place he was going to give them. The promised land. The land that he is going to give his people. So the people could live there in the plentiful harvest. The plentiful harvest and worship him. So Moses sent a couple of spies out. Next slide. Eventually. There we go. He sent some guys out to test. This is not obviously, I didn't draw this. an old photograph. We'll just call it that. But he sent some guys out and they cut off a single cluster, one. And it was so heavy, it needed two of them to carry it. And they came back and gave the report that the land is ready. the promised land that's just in our reach. Look, one bunch, cluster of grapes, and it's bending two men's back. What does that mean for us? Has God called you to Buttershaw? I hope so, because if he hasn't, I think we need to have a conversation. Because I want you where God has called you. And I celebrate if it's Buttershaw, but if it's not, I want to see where God wants to plant you. Has God spoken to us as a church about the land and harvest? He has. And he has for many years. Ever since I've been here, which will be 10 years this November. Some of you may say that's a blessing. 10 years I've heard God speak to this church about the land. He has given us the land of Buttershaw. This is our promised land. He's given it. But have we? Have we seen the harvest from Buttershaw? Not yet. Why is that? Is it because we've done nothing? No. We haven't just done nothing. But there's an opportunity for us to do something, and something a little different, which takes us outside of our normal. Our normal being sat in here listening to me in this building. Not saying that's a bad thing, but actually I'm using your time, your talents, when you could be out looking for the harvest. Do you see where I'm going with this? There is a plentiful harvest. This, I absolutely believe this. God has called me and many others to Buttershaw. Yes, to worship him. Yes, to grow our talents. But to start collecting the harvest, the grapes, the people into his kingdom. So when Jesus returns, he wouldn't look upon the church and say, I had to spit you out because you were lukewarm. Revelation. That he can look at any one of these people in this room and others to come and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because we're not limiting ourselves to what we have. We look to the diversity and diverse God who will lead us into the pastures, into the harvest. This is the heart of House Church on these biblical foundations. And I won't apologize if it makes you feel uncomfortable. I won't, because it makes me feel uncomfortable. And I don't want to ignore the mandate that God has given me as a child of God, as a servant of him. And I don't want to ignore your calling. I want to encourage all of us to go out and preach the good news from the basis of prayer, from the anointing, the talents that God has given you, so we can actually live out and seek the gospel kingdom, the good news for those around us. This is the heart of what I want you to hear this morning. Not so much worrying what that looks like. There will be a chance to discuss this. But the heart. Next slide. Now, I referenced the way of blessing, and I know I'm moving through this quite quickly, and there will be chance to get back on this, but the way of blessing, it's a continuation from a book called The Grace Outpouring, and I would really encourage you to read both these books. But the way of blessing is basically talking about their rhythms, what they actually truly believe. They believe in a community. Now, they live in a community, in a house, which welcome people. But it's still a community. We live in a community. We are together. We are a community. Like it or not, we are a community. And they recognize that the community brings blessings. That these blessings being together, because we serve a God of relationship. And he will bless relationships. But they also do something where whenever they meet anyone, they will bless them. Even, it's a story in here about a guy who came because he wanted to sell them a photocopier. They came into their presence and they do the same thing again and again and again. It doesn't matter if you're a salesman, you're visiting, or you're speaking, it doesn't matter. They always pray a prayer of blessing over the person. And this is what I want to encourage us when we think about doing house church. It is still church. Maybe it doesn't look like this, but it's still church. And I still want you to have the mind of Christ when you pray and you seek your God for your talents and the Holy Spirit and sharing the gospel. Bless the people. And that is a very simple thing. Next slide, please. I'm going to get onto this in a minute. But a blessing is a very short way of just recognizing God's authority and asking it to fall on the person. And there's actually some training resources that can teach us how to be people of blessing, how to pray appropriate prayers of blessings, which I'm willing to invest in. So with this, you get a DVD, you get some books to write in, and you can do it in small groups. I think I'm going to buy it anyway. I think it costs about 34 quid, and you get 10 books to write in and keep up. It's over 6 sessions. But if any of you guys, as life groups or individuals, want to do it, come and speak to me. Because I'm not afraid to make that investment as a church into equipping you. But the blessing really talks about the reference that they use from Feldy Brennan, and it's something that God spoke to me again before I even read this, was the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. If we go around and manage to bless individuals in our lives, in our community, it says here that the blessing will fall upon the people. And maybe this is where we've fallen down a bit. Maybe. Because we haven't really been actively looking to bless the people. Go out and bless them. Through our relationship with them, by inviting them into our homes, or meeting in their homes, or just inviting them into something that we like doing. And just at some point, either the beginning or middle or end, not asking them, what can I pray for you? I'm not saying that's bad if you want to do that, but often what we do is we listen to the person and we just pray it back to them. To them. That's what's happening. But if you could say, come into my house, and at some point just say, sorry if I just pray a prayer of blessing. If they say no, fair enough. You don't force God or a blessing on anyone else. You can do that. But if they say yes, and hopefully they will, because there'll be some kind of relationship, say, God, I just thank you. So I'm going to use Gary. I just thank you for Gary. I just thank you that you know him and love him. Bless him and all that he does today, tomorrow, and may your blessings be revealed to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you want a slice of pizza? Yeah, of course he does. Simple as that. I am not asking you to start trying to throw quotes at people and do something that you're not called to do. That's where the community comes in. But you are called to bless. You are called to open up your lives and show the God that changed your life to other people. That's the good news. Jesus changed you and he wants to do it for your neighbours. But how will your neighbours know if you don't go? This is the opportunity we have. Now in a minute, I'm going to just give you an opportunity and we can get into four corners of the church to think about what this actually looks like. What can you do? Who can you do it with? And I've tried to split it up into categories. This is only just a template. But you've got the four categories. Things you can do from your home. Some of you might already have ideas. I've heard a few ideas. And I've just put a couple down. Hobbies and interests. You can invite others. You might be really good at something. And someone from your community, your sphere, might be really interested. Use it. They might not be interested coming to church and singing songs they don't know and sat in rows and all looking a bit blank and thinking, why am I here? But they might be interested in going fishing. Because I like fishing. And if I could take a few people fishing and pray a prayer blessing over them and do some relationship with them, that's a start, isn't it? Group activities. Stuff you can do together. You got life groups. You can do a life group social. Let's not try and add stuff onto our week. If you want to do an outreach with your life group, why not do it on a Sunday? Mate, you've already got the time for it. I did put this one down because this is a gentle prod. Men's, women, and children's outreach. Let me encourage you in that one. I'd love to see more of that. Community activities. You might feel like God has put something on your heart to bless your street, your neighbours, a large group of people. Treasure hunting, healing on the streets. We have resources in the church. We've got the healing teams. Maybe you feel that you would like to learn more how to do healing on the streets. So Judy goes out on the streets praying for healing. We can offer training. We've got resources that we can take out. Barbecue fun day. Eden's really good at this stuff. It's very much in our hearts and minds that we reach the young people with the truth and the gospel, but we invite the families. And one way we do that is through barbecues. Maybe you feel that you could help out in something that Eden does. You would like to connect. You might struggle with the youth, but you're thinking, actually, yeah, I could see myself helping, welcoming families and be prepared to pray a blessing over them. But before we just do that, I want to invite Dave up because it's his fault. No, I'm sorry, did he say that out loud? Because some of the conversations we had and have had with Dave, he's been really helpful. But he had a real vision, and I think I would like to encourage him. Well, I'm going to get him to share it because there's a realness about this as well. I'm not trying to say this is a pretty picture that I'm trying to paint. In a lot of ways, it looks quite ugly because it could go wrong, it could go right. I don't know. But Dave, really, I believe he's got a heart for that. So over to Dave.
Well, Gavin said everything I wanted to say. So. it was really, really good to talk. I was really challenged probably a month or two before Christmas. It probably was a Sunday because I was over at Tesco's this way. And I'd already had various conversations with Gavin people and that. But I just remember being in Tesco's, in the foyer of Tesco's, and seeing these two lads of, I don't know, vaguely older teenage years, possibly, in the traditional uniform of grey tracksuit and hood, just kind of shuffling along and, I don't know, a bit of a swagger about them, and just thinking, my word, I'm so scared of them. And really just not think, really just thinking, I really do not know how I would engage with them or connect with them. And I'm not saying I'm going to, I'm not saying that's my group, I don't know where to start with them as a people. But then I felt it was a challenge, I didn't know where we as a church connected with them either. You know, they're quite a bit older than probably what we'd think about in terms of Eden. Although they're probably just about on the periphery of that. And I've seen that before, I suppose. And it really fed off onto this going out to sending the 72 out. And that's really the two things that challenged me was the Jesus sending 72 people out in pairs, and knowing that God's given me and given all of us giftings and essentially talents. And that combination of what are we doing with that? And what am I doing with that? And then seeing these two guys and thinking, so how would I reach them? How do us as a church reach them? Because in that kind of shuffling stance, that their stance, you know, their heads were down and they were kind of, I don't know, they just didn't look like they were kind of living life to the full, I suppose. And I kind of feel that's where God wants us to be. I want to live life to the full. I want to see us as a church living life to the full. But I think God wants to see, I think God has got a very real heart for everyone on Buttershaw. And I think he wants to see people in Buttershaw living life to the full, you know. And now that combination of the three things was, I suppose, where I've started in that. And it has fed off things I've done in my old church and stuff that, you know, they've done there. But I just felt a real challenge to me and expressed that to Gavin. And he kind of, yeah, so it's my fault. And I feel really uncomfortable about next week. Really do. Because it's not my comfort zone. So I do apologise. But thank you.
So you heard it from yourself. I take no responsibility. No, I do, because I want to live this out, because it's a challenge for me. And I don't know, you might think, well, you do Eden and stuff, but yeah, Eden is great, but he's more, and I'd like to see us all move in this and me growing in different ways. So we've got new neighbours. I'm already starting to think, how do I bless them? Because there is quite a lot of fragrances that come from their house. And I don't know who lives there, because there's like six cars parked outside. And so there's a challenge, you know. And we've got to be, and this is why I wanted Dave to share, because there's a realness about this. There is going to be a bit of like, ooh, ouch. I'm not trying to force you to do something you don't want. I'm trying to encourage us and put this and say, let's give it a go. Let's just give it a go. Let's understand what God has been saying to us for many years. Let's see if we can just try this. If it fails, great. Because then we can say, it doesn't work. Stay away. But even if it works for one, let's celebrate. Let's be a people out there thinking, yes. We're doing it. Good and faithful servant. So, let's do it like from your home. So if you feel like you want to speak about, well, what can I do from my home? Or you've got some ideas. I know what I'm going to do from my home. Go over to this corner here. Hobbies and interests. I'm just checking if you're still with me. Hobbies and interest over here, around Aurelia and Grace, because they're obviously interesting and have hobbies. These are things that you already like doing that you think, actually, maybe I could invite others in. Group activities. Oh, gosh. Community activities. Pick a corner. Move around. Chat with people. You don't have to do it like that, but I just thought it might be good just to maybe instigate something. Okay? Grab a cup of tea. Chat. Talk. Share. Inspire. Be real. If you can't think of anything and not feel like next week is a bit too soon, don't worry, because we'll be here. Come and join me and Joan for a reflect service. Maybe God will speak to you through that. Be good to keep that heart of worship here, won't it? Right, let me pray.